Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Oh, the What Podcast. A podcast for Bonnarooians by Bonnarooians. Days are numbered. It's all over. It's all over. Goodbye, sweet prince. Good night, Barry. Good night, Lord Taco. Time to leave. Time to exit. Time to say goodbye to season three of the What Podcast. Final thoughts? Anything that you want to get off your chest? Some anger? Frustration? Anything?
What was that?
It's over. It's all
what
over.
What was that? Wait. Taco, what was that?
That's some water.
That's what... That's how bad it is, Brad.
Wait.
It's come to this.
There's no difference between what that is and PBR. So.
Oh, yes, there is.
It's come to this.
I can't even drink a PBR.
I was going to ceremoniously open a good Hutton & Smith and put it in one of these.
Oh, is that a What Podcast koozie?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was bringing some hope. And then he brings out water.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That hurts me to my core.
Those koozies look good. Look at that.
We should mention if you're listening to the podcast, you should probably watch this on YouTube so you can see the What Podcast koozie that Barry has.
Yeah, and not only do you see the koozie, but sometimes you don't see his arm. It's just sometimes disappears. You're like the Back to the Future photo and Back to the Future 1 just gradually disappearing. So, the koozies are ready to go. The stickers are ready to go. T-shirts are on the way and should be on the way to you, all the Patreons. And first and foremost, thank you to all of them for making Season 3 the most successful to date. And I guess this would be a good time to run through some of them before we get into the news of the week, huh?
Keep talking.
There's the sticker right there.
Oh, look at that, the sticker. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they got the podcast, the koozie, and then the t-shirt. I feel like, and the mixtape. The mixtape is the only other thing that I haven't brought up.
Mixtapes are, we're wrapping those up. Most of those are recorded, ready to go.
Yeah.
Actual, real mixtapes. If you have a tape player, you can play this in your tape player.
Something that I haven't gotten in years. Being in radio, they send you CDs and merchandise and shit from bands all the time. For the first time in probably 20 years, I got a cassette tape this week.
Oh,
whoa.
They actually sent me a cassette tape. I know it's been a long time. Somebody actually sent a cassette tape through the mail, but to work me on a song, they sent me a cassette tape. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
I'm looking at a stack of the CDs. Yeah, I haven't had a mixtape in forever. And did they ever work? I mean, you know, the whole idea behind the mixtape was, you know, to impress a girl, right? You were picking songs that impressed. I always seemed to do the opposite.
Maybe it was my level
of tape.
Taco and I are far younger than you, Dad. We use mixed CDs, so we didn't use mixtapes.
I never used mixtapes.
Yeah.
Either one?
I don't know. I guess I never tried to use it for picking up girls. I used it to try and show off. Yeah. I tried to show off
same thing.
That's the same thing.
I guess, but like I had no intentions of like someone actually liking it. I wanted you to be, you know, somehow take me more seriously than I was taking myself.
This is how much I understand you.
I will say, though, through the three that you can choose, mine is absolutely the best. My mixtape is absolutely heads and above better than the other two you can choose. By the way, I'm very excited today that me and Barry finally match. For the first time this season, we've decided to wear the same outfit. This is nice. This is the first. It took 25 episodes. By the way, how many episodes did we do this year? We did a ton.
We're up to, I think, 23. Oh, my 22, God. 22, 23. Oh. Yeah.
For a year that doesn't exist.
For a bottle that didn't even happen.
Can we go ahead and tell people next year we're not doing 23 episodes? We're not doing 23.
I'm not going to say, because we didn't think we'd be doing year three. Are you kidding?
Yeah, good point. I think when we set out this year, we said 15 was our number. 15 was going to be a comfortable number, and boy, we went past 15 really early. I mean, I think we were in 15 in March.
Yeah, but I mean, not to, you know, toot our own horn, but I think they've been good episodes, and I think the, you know, it's one of the reasons I wanted to talk today is, you know, we've sort of been on top of the industry. You know, I mean, obviously it's a weird year, but I don't. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've been wrong about anything, have we?
No, I don't think so. And it is, you know, it's not time for us to toot horns and pat on the back, but there's a reason why I hope that you listen to this show,
right.
Because we are talking about things that we are either know as facts or very, 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 very informed opinions. And when we were saying back in March that this was not going to happen, it's because I was explicitly told it's not going to happen. And it wasn't from one person. It wasn't from two people. It wasn't just from AC. It wasn't just from Live Nation. It was over and over and over from artists to management, it wasn't going to happen. And then, and I tweeted this out the other day, when I was told that when they made the reschedule date, and I said, well, what's the percent? Before the reschedule date, it was 0% chance of it happening. And then they made the reschedule, and I said, well, what's the chance of it happening now? And the same person told me, 1%. It was never going to happen. And, you know, I was an idiot. We were all proven wrong from this virus at first. I mean, when this started in February, I straight up said, it'll be done by Easter. By Easter. And I was fighting it and fighting it. And then we can all remember when ACL fell. I'm sorry, it was South by Southwest. When South by Southwest fell, that's when everything started falling apart. And then Coachella went, and so went the rest of the industry. And the writing was on the wall from the beginning.
I think that last part that you just said is the key. I don't mean it to be a na-na-na-na, you know, we're right and you're wrong type of thing either. It was just you and I were able to see how big it was. You know, it's not a want it to go away. It's not a we wish we're right type of thing. It was just there were so many dominoes and pieces that were falling that it just didn't make sense, you know? Bonnaroo, I mean, I don't know how, I assume we're going to get into it, because obviously you've made phone calls, I've made phone calls this week. Live Nation is much smaller than it used to be. AC Entertainment is much smaller than it used to be. Mm-hmm. It's not a simple... And that's the point I've been trying to make from the beginning. It's not just a simple ring a bell and open the door. Hey, we're all back open. You know, there were so many moving parts that quit moving. And for them to be able to make it happen was just not possible. And it's not because they didn't want to. Trust me. It's not because they didn't want to.
Yeah, so... when I go back and I review all of the things that we either were trying to say that were newsworthy, that were information that we had been given, there wasn't a time where that information was wrong. And Each time it came up, we tried to make it pretty apparent that these were very, very informed opinions / direct pieces of news, and not one of them.
Multiple.
Yeah.
I never said anything that I only got from one person.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
It may be different next year. We may be totally wrong next year, but this year, I keep seeing people on Twitter and the Reddits and God love them, say things like, called it, told you this was going to happen, called it, told you it was going to happen. Well, I mean, we sort of broke this news in March. Yeah. We could sort of explain this to you, so I'm glad that you called it. The other thing that was interesting to me was, over the past week, Ashley's interview with that Knoxville paper, which kept saying the same things that Barry had been saying for so long, and the thing that we sort of kept hearing as well over and over and over, a tour doesn't just happen with one-offs, and it's so expensive for a one-off to happen. A whole tour has got to be built. A whole show has got to be designed. A set has to be built. People have to be paid. It cannot, and just one-off festivals, that is going to be an expensive, expensive endeavor. And, you know, nobody got that money right now. So
right.
A one-off festival is just not gonna happen if there wasn't a tour to support it. And I thought that was such a great point that you made damn near 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, it was, that's what people were telling me, is that there's so many moving parts. And, you know, the fact that, add in, nobody wants to be the one to make somebody sick. Nobody wants to make their family sick. So no, it was just so evident. And, it troubles me a little bit that there's still a few events out there that are fighting this, if you will.
You like Trump rallies?
Trump rallies, NASCAR, and college football, and pro athletes. Confusing.
I
money. I know there's massive amounts of money involved. Yeah.
I can't speak as an expert on what people in college football and sports are going to do, because I just don't have the people I can call and ask. But to me, this sounds insane. This NBA thing, the baseball is the dumbest set of rules I've ever heard in my life. I mean,
you're not going to buy a $90 silhouette head of Brad to sit in whatever your favorite.
Nor am I going to watch a sport that is only playing a third of the season and is changing the overtime rules basically on a whim as games are played. That's stupid. The college football thing is just getting worse. You've got LSU players getting tested positive. You've got the NFL thinking they're going to start in 75 days. That is, I just can't. It's not going to happen. I keep going through this idea of if one person who's young and healthy gets sick and it infects an entire team, what does a team do? They just...
What if the entire team gets sick, as has happened down in Texas, right? And they pull out of the league. You're gonna make up new rules now. Instead of eight teams, we got seven.
Right. What is the end goal? And Malcolm Jenkins, who plays for the Eagles, said it perfectly the other day after Zeke Elliott was, you know, diagnosed with COVID. He said, "Football and sports are not an essential business. You want me to put my life on the line and my family's life on the line and so many other of my friends on the line? For what? This is not..."
I'm so glad you asked that. I actually posted on my favorite college football team. I said, let me ask it this way. What as a parent, you're asking my kid to go out there and play so you can watch football? Right. And I got all kinds of blowback. You know, he's doing it so he can get drafted by the NFL. Really? Okay.
Yeah, there ain't no NFL going to be drafting right now.
Okay,
so
I get it. I mean, it sucks for everyone, and I get that it's not fair. I get that he's worked his rear end off to get to this point. That wasn't the question. Basically, you're doing it so that TV can, you know,
yeah.
Hey, you can get the TV revenue, and that, you know, Brad and Taco and I can watch football.
That's right.
That's it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's, you know, and then, so yeah, same with, I mean, NASCAR. I don't even know how I feel about that. I'm not a NASCAR fan, so I don't, you know, I'm coming at it from a bad attitude already. But just because you've got $8.2 billion wrapped up in TV doesn't mean they have to race, you know?
Right.
Or
well, it's true. And the sports is one thing. You know, I keep hearing from a lot of people who are fighting this thing and just desiring it to go away. And because they want it to go away, it must be gone.
Correct.
There is something to be said that we cannot function as a country without the economy to move. And the economy has to move in certain ways. And, you know, businesses are shutting doors across the country. When does it stop? When do we actually try and make this economy work? And how do you even do it? Now, granted, I don't know those answers. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But what I do know is there's absolutely zero leadership from the top, and nobody seems to know what in the hell to do. You know, Florida and Texas rolling back the bars and the restaurants after going literally crazy and having Sean Hannity, you know, give them a standing ovation a month ago as if they were doing something so monumentally brilliant.
Yeah, which I think is why it's important.
What's happened, I know what's happened in the last 2 months, is that the second that somebody gets sick, it shuts everything down. And imagine if somebody gets sick in the middle of an NFL season or in the middle of this basketball season, all of a sudden, one team's totally gone, another team can't play that team, and then the whole thing's done. You're not going to get a full season.
Which is why, it's just coincidental, I guess, but I mean, the things that I have covered, written about, whatever, are restaurants and entertainment. And they're so connected. And to me, they're so connected to everything else. We need to eat. We need to be entertained. We want to eat. We want to be entertained. But in doing so, we're asking other people, you know, to put themselves at risk. Right. Which is what we're talking about. So, I think you and I were on the phone the other day. Things like Bonnaroo, they don't have TV money. So they don't have that, but their entire industry is shut down. I mean, I don't think people understand.
Right.
It's not just that Brad and Barry and Taco don't get to go see Miley Cyrus, you know, which, by the way, the more I study,
I was literally about to say, when you put it that way, I
I know, I'm not kidding. The more I study it, I really want to see that. But it's not just that, it's entire families, you know, are out of work. I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's for a reason. I can't tell you how devastated the people that I've talked to in the industry are about. And they're people out of jobs. You know, it's not because they don't want to have Bonnaroo in September. Yeah. They desperately want to.
Think about the impact of Manchester. I mean, they kind of rely on that.
Well, that's, you know,
yearly.
We should bring that up because, you know, the rumors were out there. Taco, I think you were hearing it, that they were going to do something. They might still do something, right? Because that city needs it so badly. I mean, you're talking millions and millions of dollars that come in 10 days.
Yeah.
Now gone, at least for this year.
Yeah, but yeah, again, back to what I was saying, you can't force it just because you want it. And I said this to you, 3 weeks ago, that I absolutely know that Live Nation is trying to set up events in and around the Southeast for 5,000 to 10,000 people, mostly outdoors. I just can't say where it's going to be, but read between the lines here. They are going to try and put together something to salvage some money. And if they can find the right artist to take this risk, and if they can put together enough safety protocols, then they're going to try and recoup something for the end of the year. Now, we're doing in New Orleans, there is C3 is putting on a drive-in concert. They're doing Tank and the Bangas 1 week, Galactic the next week, and then Revivalist the third week. I don't know how tickets are selling. They went on sale last week. I got to imagine that some of these things are going to pop up from time to time. I will be totally honest with you. I don't think they're going to work. I know that some artists are better for this than others, but you know, the last drive-in show that I saw, they've had people, you know, dancing on top of their cars. They don't last very long in their car when the music starts going. They're up and down to the bathroom, on and on and on. It's just, it's a powder keg ready to blow. And, you know, the last thing insert community wants is to look like another Ozark pool party.
You're right. But the other thing is, I think they're doing it not because the revenue they think they're going to see from it, so much as the optics and the we got to do something and let's do something and then learn from it type of thing. One of the things that we've heard is that the farm will host a couple of small shows, 5,000 and under. I think I told you that, and you know, your immediate reaction was, why? That makes no sense. Where they're
going to make any sense.
Where they're going to draw people from. But I think it's more to Taco's point. It's probably a little bit of throw Manchester a bone. It's a huge farm. Obviously, they can have lots of people there. 5,000 doesn't even feel like, you know, a gathering. So they can do it. They'll learn from it. I say that because our own Songbirds here is doing similar. Not all of them are working. Very few.
Can I ask you something?
Are making money.
Can I back up for a second to our conversation with Exit In and
Chris?
And to the Songbirds point. Does Chattanooga and Tennessee, especially, not have some sort of live music ban? Is it okay that you can do 200 people in a space with live music?
The governor had shut down bars and restaurants and all that, but then he opened up sort of outdoors. And so what they've been doing is sort of patio shows, because they have that Station Street, if you remember. So they can have a guy out on a patio playing as people walk by. It's not necessarily a gathering. Now, they've been moving inside because that's opened up a little bit.
That's not banned in Tennessee.
No.
Indoor shows are not banned in Tennessee.
No.
Okay. We haven't checked in with Chris since all this has happened.
No, he hasn't had any.
Yeah, I was about to say, has he?
He hasn't had any. And honestly, I think I'm saying this right. And if I'm wrong, apologies to Songbirds, but it's more or less they want to set them up outside, and if the weather forces, they go inside. Now, they did have Emmy Sunshine, which, by the way, did very well for us. People watched that. That was a good show. I'm glad we did it. But she was there last Friday downstairs in the larger room, and it did well. But it was, you know, is 25% capacity or less. So they're not making any money. Right. Back to this idea of, you know, putting things on C3, Live Nation, whatever. I mean, they got to do something. I get it. If I were them, it's just so hard. How do you sit back and do nothing?
Well, because there's nothing to do. Going to argue with you. I don't know what the point is to do something just for the sake of doing it is putting the health at risk of people, putting people's risk at health. Fauci said it the other day, there's no contact tracing that's working. There's no real method to finding out if someone is sick or not before they are sick. There's no way to actually figure any of this out. So until then, you're putting people's health at risk by doing something that you just want to do. It goes back to I'm just going to will my way out of this, and that's not going to work.
No, I agree. I keep going back. I mean, it's the, you know, peeing and non-peeing section of a pool. One of Rick Honeycutt, who's a, you know, pitching coach from here, he equated it to taking your child to daycare with a temperature. You know, just because you want to go to work or need to have the day, you're putting every other kid in that daycare and their families at risk. The difference is, in that case, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and what you're talking about and what I've been talking about is people, for whatever reason, want to just ignore it. And I know what you're saying. I agree. I'm becoming a little more understanding, if that's the right word, of the people who say we got to do something, because there are so many of them, and I'm talking to them over and over, but it doesn't make it right. And the point in this, and the reason it's important for us, is this is why Bonnaroo canceled. Exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. This is why they canceled. It would have been easy for them to say, we've got to do something. Mm-hmm. Not easy. But
all right,
but they don't have the staff. You know, yeah, what I mean?
Well, that is a good point. Let's bring that up, because I want to get to something real quick. But, you know, any festival is it takes time for them to initiate some sort of plan one way or the other. For Bonnaroo, yes, Live Nation owns it, and yes, Live Nation operates most of it. They punt a lot of it to AC Entertainment, and AC Entertainment, whether or not it's a very small staff, it's a very small operation. The fact that and by the way, they do a lot of shit. They're not just running Bonnaroo, man. They run a ton of venues and a ton of experiences and a ton of festivals. So they're a busy group of people, and it's a very small staff. So I cut them a lot of breaks when it comes to timing on stuff. And you know, I was pretty irritated that we hadn't heard anything about anything in the Black Lives Matter protests or the weekend of Bonnaroo, mainly the weekend of Bonnaroo, because you had so long to prepare for it and you just didn't, you came up with nothing. But I give them a lot of slack. Not only do they have a small staff, but half of them are furloughed. You know, you're not getting a lot of, is there four or five people in that office at one time? If they're even going to the office anymore?
You talking about now?
Yeah.
You know how many are left now?
I don't even want to know.
Eight.
You know, man. God, that's tough. So, yeah, anybody wants to give, you know, AC or Bonnaroo a hard time, they ain't Golden Voice, and they're not Live Nation as much as you think they are. Okay, back to
what I'm saying. And Live Nation is cut too. I mean, and they're the 800-pound gorilla.
I mean, they all are.
That's the point I've been trying to make to people, is it's not like you flip a switch. You know, think about how many people it takes to make that festival work. Mm-hmm. And
all right, real quick, back to the thing about doing stuff on the farm. I've got a couple of problems here. One, it's the same thing that I don't think drive-in shows are going to work, because that's just not how you experience a show. And the artists that would work are going to be artists like Train, where you can sit and stare at it and you don't really have to engage your body or, you know, it's like, oh, this is fine. But the show, if you try to explain to me, we're going to do a show and it's going to be in Manchester for 5,000 people, and it's going to be outside, I would say, why in the hell would I drive to Manchester if I'm living in Nashville? Why in the world would they not just put it in an amphitheater that holds 10,000 people? They've got all the space in the world in Nashville to do this. And to Taco's point, it's got to be only just to help the city of Manchester, but I don't see anyone showing up for that. Why in the world would you drive to Manchester, Tennessee, only to sit outside and see a band for a day? That makes no sense.
Well, and I'll ask you, because you're more in that world than I am. Is it about ticket sales, or is it about optics and sponsors? I got to give my sponsors something to hang on to them. You know what I mean? I got to do something. I've got to present an event. There's sponsor money out there. If I don't give them something this year that pays my salary, you know what I mean?
My bet is the sponsor money's already gone. There's no getting it back.
Yeah, it's already paid in my salary. That's what I'm asking, I guess, is, yeah, they've already given me, I mean, what was that, first quarter or second quarter, right? I don't know how this
Look, let's just use T-Mobile as an example. If T-Mobile is a sponsor of Bonnaroo, my bet is that they haven't paid anything yet to begin with. And whatever they did pay, they got a refund on because the executable hasn't happened. And I don't foresee somebody like the sales force of AC Entertainment or Live Nation calling up T-Mobile and is like, all right, so I've got this idea. We're going to do a small show for 5,000 people. Will you give us 20 grand? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are, but I disagree because I think I'm seeing that happening in some other events. There's a couple here that are happening, and I'm sure it's about sponsor money. I'm certain that it's about keeping sponsor money. Riverbend, Riverfront Nights, J-Fest.
Right. Okay.
They're scheduled to happen.
That's fine. Okay, but my bet is it's with a brand who. Okay, I'm not gonna. I don't want to get into like what is good brand management and not. But if you're calling up Brad's Mattress Store, and think and trying to convince me that insert event is a good place for me to put my money, I'm gonna laugh you out of the house or laugh you out of the room.
If you're a loyal guy and you know you got to do something, it's better than nothing. It would be my argument. Otherwise, I'm giving you nothing. I'm giving you zero.
Yeah, I just don't know what the brand value is to be attached to anything right now, especially if you are a brand that is a sieve of money. Yeah, I don't know. I would want my money back. If I've given anything, I want my money back. And if you're willing to put on something just for the sake of putting on something, it's probably going to be half-assed to begin with, and I don't want my brand attached to a half-assed product. So I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, but I go back to there are, and just as you said, there are people who don't believe this is real and are all about, I want it to be over, therefore it's over. So,
yeah,
like-minded people. I think it's more that than we think we can make money off of 5,000 people buying a ticket.
Yeah.
and I agree. Who are the artists that are going to do this? I mean, you're not going to go see U2 with 5,000 people. I promise you that.
Right. By the way, just as an aside. By this aside, did we ever for sure hear the number that McCartney got at Bonnaroo? Did we ever actually hear for sure the number?
Oh, I want to say I did, but I can't pull it out. It was
okay. Well, I heard it, and I don't remember ever hearing the number. So when somebody actually confirmed it to me last week, I was like, I don't think I knew that. 2.5.
Yeah, I want to say around that.
He got 4 for Coachella, 2.5 for Bonnaroo.
Worth every penny. I watched it again the other day.
Every penny.
Unbelievable.
So that's the other thing. I mean, that's sort of the reason why I brought it up. You think you're getting a band that's going to be, White Reaper right now. I mean, that's a $50,000 band. Local Natives. It's a $60,000 band. You think local natives could even sell 5,000 tickets in a farm in Manchester? Not happening. And you think that you're going to spend 60 grand and then 100? I mean, it's going to cost you $125 to put this show on, just to even put it on. And 5,000 people times how much money? How many tickets? It's not going to work. The money doesn't work.
That's where the reality comes in. Is they're still going to ask? They're not coming down 25% or 75%. You know, because they still have costs.
Yeah.
There are some acts that have that perceived value that bump it up, but then there's the real cost.
Yeah.
And 25% basically is the real cost for them to even go out on the road. So,
and that's why I think that you're going to see, if you see anything, you're going to see shows like what they're doing, C3 is doing in New Orleans, where it's Tank of the Bangas, Galactic, and Revivalist at a drive-in movie theater.
Local. I think that's what's going to happen.
They're three local bands.
It's going to open up regionally. We're going to see a lot of acoustic shows. We're going to see a lot of, lead singer with a guitar shows. You're not going to see pyro and all that stuff.
If you want to make something happen, if I'm AC or if I'm Live Nation, I would do, 10 country stars on the farm at Manchester and sell 7,500, 10,000 tickets.
Let's look at it this way. Country fans
come out and see 6 to 7 artists.
Let's look at it this way. I mean, glass half full kind of thing. I don't have a problem with that. I'd love to see some really talented singer-songwriters. I don't need to see lights and all that stuff. You know, it's an opportunity for the industry to reinvent itself. And that, I mean, I'm reaching. I'm seriously reaching for silver linings. But I can see that being a good thing because the talented acts will win out.
Well, if you find 6 to 7 local Nashville country stars, and then you put them on the farm at Manchester, and you know your overall budget's 125, and you've got 10,000 people there, and they bought a $75, $100 ticket. You know that could work. It could probably work, and you could probably
I'd go
make...
up there with Taco. You'd go,
yeah,
wouldn't
we'd
you?
Go. We're close enough. I don't know about.
I actually thought about that. I would not go in September.
But it,
to
but
see
it
a
would,
small Bonnaroo.
But to but your it, point, it would have to be local Nashville-based artists. It would have to be somebody who's willing to right. not be on the road and something they can just pop in and do real quick.
Yeah, because nobody's on tour, so they're not going to drive straight to Manchester for one show.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, the great point, Taco. By the way, most of the bands probably live 15 other places. Like Cage the Elephant
exactly.
lives in Nashville.
Exactly.
Half the band does not. Matt Schultz does. The rest of the band does not.
I was getting ready to say that our Nightfall concert series has been doing it virtually for the last 4 weeks. And when she reached out to the scheduled lineup, that was a problem. You know, we assume they all live in the same house or something or down the street. And, yeah, they're all over the place.
What if us three lived in the same place? What if we all lived in the same house?
Fair point. You know, you say, hey, let's do Nightfall together. Well, no, Brad lives in New Orleans and, you know, no, and so that's the reality. So's the roadie, you know, so's the lighting guy. He's in some other part of the country. So,
yeah.
Well, these are the kind of things we're trying to talk about.
Nashville is one of the one cities where that could work because there's so much of the industry, parked
more
right
so
down.
More so than probably most, there. Definitely.
Yeah.
New York,
so,
LA.
So the next thing we got to get to is what happens for next year and what does the lineup look like next year. And I wasn't surprised. I guess there were so many that were surprised that Bonnaroo didn't come out with some sort of plan for 2021. I wasn't surprised to the point that I was making earlier. They don't have anyone there. So I don't know what kind of like major plan you think they're going to come up with, one fourth of their staff sitting in the room. This is going to take a long time for them to sort of sort out and shake out and just
well,
have
let me ask you this
already
though.
I don't think it's plausible.
Sorry to interrupt, but so the entire industry shut down, right? So maybe that lineup already had 2021 booked, but I'm guessing they didn't.
No, they didn't. And so that's what I was
shift it. You know,
they are.
It.
So that's what I heard last week was they're 90% of most everything that you see is going to carry over into 2021, and that goes for Coachella, Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Most tours, Bonnaroo, well, I was told 90% is probably a pretty safe number to bet on. The thing that popped in my head, though, was something that Steve and Brian said to us in the lineup show. They were already getting confirmations for 2021. There's a certain specific female pop star that they are trying to go for 2021 and that will have a new album out. And they are this close to it, at least back in February when the lineup was announced. So how does that change the lineup for next year? It's those things that
make
I'm really fascinated. Yeah, I'm really
because
back to the point that Steve and Brian made is that when they put into the deal, they've already put in the deal the time and the stage and the place on the poster. It's part of the contract, especially for the top, third of the lineup. So how in the world do you fit Gady Lala into the somewhere up there and fit
never
that
heard
on,
of her.
Yeah, fit that onto a stage. How do you do that?
You make it work.
Know.
You make it work, and then you come back. You come back in January and say, "Man, last year sucked." But
yeah, but it's going to cost you
strong.
An extra bill. It's going to cost you an extra bill, and you got that just sitting around in the coffers.
Well,
you're gonna have to make some cuts, and that's where this is gonna get really weird. I can't wait to find out how Stephen Bryan's job changes from now until December, January, February, when they've got to come up with a lineup. Some of it's carried over, some of it are commitments from the year before, and they're just gonna have to make something work with probably a cut budget.
Well, this is where you and I have talked. Do we just shut this down, or do we dig deeper into those kind of questions? My personal hope is that we, the What Podcast, are somehow able to dig deeper into that, because I'm interested. How we make it work, I don't know. I mean, can we make it work? I don't know. But I'm interested in this type of topic right here. And if we can get these guys to talk to us, I don't want us to come on every week and just speculate. Mm-hmm. That's nothing. But if we can find people who will speak to us about the process, because this has never happened, so nobody knows. I mean, these are mm-hmm. great questions, and I'm fascinated.
But see, that there's the secret, Barry. It's somebody who's willing to come on and talk to us about this and say something beyond, we don't really know yet.
They will at some point, though, is my point, I guess. Yeah, we've done the predictions. We've talked about it. You know, I'm about getting into the realities of it at this point. And there's still some other cool things to brag on Russ. He put together the phone call thing. I thought that is so cool. You need to give that number out here again where we have people call in.
And while let's go through the Patreons that we were supposed to do 35 minutes ago.
All right, started. You want me to read them?
Yeah, go through some of them.
You want to read them. Thanks again to Aaron.
Get the phone number out. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll do that because I just love it. But I am serious to figure out how we go forward because I think there's a lot to talk about. But thanks to our Patreons, Aaron Carlson, Bill, David Grimes, Frank Swanson, Liesl Condor, Phil Hanley, Timothy Proctor, Chloe Hannon, Dan Sweeney, Dustin Gehrig, Haley, Mary T, Melanie and J.C. Feldman, Mitchell Stafford, Musical Antlers, Parker Reed. Parker was one of our phone callers. Hey, Parker. Skyler, Tori, Chelsea Davis, Evan Brown, Gordon Silver, Jason Hazelbaker, Joshua Herndon, Lauren Edholm, Linda Doles, Lucy Young, Nick Yeatman, Ross McNamara, Ryan Mathewson, Sean McCarthy, Tyrone Basket, William Richards, Clay Wilhoit, Andrew T. McBride, Catherine Riccio, David Solano, Jacob Marty, Justin Nigro, Meredith Rittman, Brooke Tussey, Daniel and Sharla Horton at the Rue Bus. Yeah, Taco, that was a great show, by the way.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Was,
yeah, let's get time, into yeah. that. David Henson, Ella, Phil Nye, Sean McCain, Benjamin Wells, Karen Sheets, Stephanie Romero, and DK. Yeah, it was a great show you guys did.
Yeah, so tell me about that. I have not listened to it yet, but how did it come about? What happened to that whole thing?
All right. Well, first, let me mention the phone number. I'll put it on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. If not, it's write this down. It's 423-667-7877. And it's just a voicemail box that you can call and tell us, you know, your Bonnaroo memories, your Bonnaroo wishes. You can confess something. It's anonymous if you want to be. And yeah, we've gotten a lot of great messages, and we've played some on the show. So we'll probably keep putting those out there.
Do you know what's really irritating about this phone number? It spells 423-667 Russ.
You picked up on that. Yes, it does.
Nice. Nice.
My mom years ago, she when I was a kid, I had my own phone number when I was in my room, and that was the big thing when I was growing up, it's the guys that had their own phone number. That was a big deal, right? And then you got the pager. That was another big one in high school. So when you got your own room's phone number, my mom set it up so that my phone number was 774-DAVE because I love Dave Letterman. All about Dave. Yeah. 667 Russ.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Phone number is great. I hope people will call and leave us a message in a memory because that's a lot of fun. That's really cool.
There was one that was really hilarious. Oh my God. There was a story that the guy said. You put it, the first one that we put up, I did hear that one. Tell me that Flaming story Lips. Again.
He said Flaming Lips was 2010.
That's right.
And he said, right as they're covering Money by Pink Floyd, he said he saw a guy pull out a crisp $100 bill from his wallet, light it on fire, and he's just said his mind just exploded.
Seemed like a really good idea.
At the time. So weirdly enough, that is so odd because you know what I was doing at that exact moment? Because I'll never forget the song that they were playing.
Were you lighting $100 bill on fire?
I was not, but I was sitting on the stage for that show, and I mean, maybe 5 feet to my left was McLovin. And who was McLovin hanging out with? Kings of Leon. And they were chugging whiskey from a plastic bottle, and within they started chugging at the show, and right when that song hit, McLovin went right over the back of the stage and threw up. He went right blah as soon as that song it's like, man, this is really, am I high? I was so confused. That was what was happening in my world.
That was the put me over the top show. That was the first 2 years I was by myself, and it was just hot, and I was alone, and I was kind of digging it, but not really. But I had gone back to my tent prior to that, and I could see the camp was in that different space.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing the music start, and I looked over and saw the big ball, you know, Wayne Cohen coming out, and I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Crawled out of my tent and went back over and thought, okay, now I kind of got my Bonnaroo moment. So,
by the way,
I get it now.
The space that Barry's talking about years ago, the backstage camping area used to be so different. They used to put us right behind the what stage, and then anybody that came in after that was overflow, they put you directly where the Calliope wall is. So. You see the.
I don't know that one. Where's the Calliope? You heard of that taco?
Yeah, it's the Calliope.
Is that like the Calliope?
No, it's Calliope.
I've never heard of a Calliope.
There's a wall there. There's a wall there, and then right on the backside of that wall was where they put like overflow media slash guest parking, and it sucked. It was the worst.
It was one tree that was as big as my hand.
Yeah,
and everybody fought for it, and then that was it. It was just hot.
Yeah. I mean, there was a and that was when I started saying these amenities have got to get better.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so I love that story. That guy was good, and then after that was the Rubus show. So sorry about that. What was that like? Tell me about it.
That was a lot of fun, and big thanks to Lindsay Huffines. He's part of the Roo Fitness people. I think he's the main one. It was his property, so it was kind of his, he gave the green light for all of us to go out there and set up camp. And he had basically a trailer that the stage was. And, you know, he had some campsites and a creek behind it. So, you know, big thanks to him for hosting that. But, you know, it was maybe 50 people. They were trying to keep it really small. So, you know,
did the space feel cramped at any point when you were with 50 people?
No, I mean, there was plenty of space there was way more than enough space. He's got maybe 7 or 8 acres out there. And, you know, we were all pretty spread out camping wise and, you know, had plenty of room for that. So, Rubus was there. They brought down Seeds, a band from Huntsville.
Mm.
To play, and they had a DJ, so you know, we got kind of a live music experience, and then a DJ kind of was like the EDM experience.
Was it just one night or was it two?
It was two nights.
Oh, no kidding. All right.
Yeah,
that's
the
awesome.
First night there was a guy that just a singer-songwriter guy with a guitar that played, I can't remember his name, but he was good too. And all these people were just, you know, begging to play for anybody.
Okay. All right.
And we were pretty much, I mean, you could have put a guy, you know, playing the triangle on stage and we would have been like, yes, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it was a really neat experience. And, you know, I swear if at night when it was dark, you're looking around at all these people, they're all dressed up in Bonnaroo the tire. Yeah. They're all high-fiving. They're saying happy Roo. I could have been convinced that I was at Bonnaroo this year because it just had that feeling, you know.
Well, moonshine will do that.
Yeah, moonshine sure. Convince did a lot.
You
yeah.
if you're anywhere, but yeah. but I am Bonnaroo. Makes, David drove down me, from New York.
It makes
right?
me a good dancer too.
Yeah, I'm a it great does. Dancer.
Yeah,
and a good kisser too.
Prove it.
Bring the moonshine.
Bring the moonshine. Yeah. Yeah, David Bruce, the I Am Bonnaroo film photographer, he drove down from New York. That's where he lives. And
is he the one that tags us in all those photos all the time?
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, he's good. He's really
he's
good.
He's great. And when he introduced himself, I didn't know who he was because I'd never seen him before. And he had to tell me, oh, yeah, I do the I Am Bonnaroo project.
Oh,
I
was like, good.
Oh, all okay, right. You're that guy. So he was there taking pictures. You can go on his Instagram feed and look at those. Yeah, he came down. Our friend Kyle, the Bonnaroovian, was there. Of course, he lives in Murfreesboro, so it wasn't
tough year for Kyle, who moves to Manchester, a mile away from Bonnaroo, and then Bonnaroo doesn't happen. Oh, yeah. Man. Maybe he's the jinx. Maybe Kyle is the jinx. Maybe moving to
maybe
Manchester.
Maybe we need to move him out. Yeah.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah. Come on, Kyle.
But it was like just a slice of Bonnaroo. You had, you know, the music, the food. There was a guy selling barbecue. I brought my own food because I didn't know what what the situation was like. But
nobody was slinging pies.
No pies. Okay. Just one guy.
No
selling
cray musties. No cray musties.
No. I mean, you know, there was a lot missing, but for what it was pretty good. And we did a just kind of an impromptu show. I don't think we were planning on it. Daniel recorded on his iPad and then promptly lost the audio. So,
been there, done that.
Yeah, we've learned from those mistakes. But so, you know, I had some cameras rolling, so I pulled the audio from that. And, you know, it sounds okay. It's not the best production wise, it's not the best episode. But for something, we just were like, hey, we're all sitting here, you know, talking Bonnaroo. Let's just record it.
Might as well do one. Yeah.
Might as well do one.
That
so
was great. I thought it was good.
Hell, that's how this show started. It was me and Barry every lunch. It was like, we're talking about Bonnaroo every time we eat lunch.
Yeah.
Why don't we just record it and start talking something else every time. This. Yeah, that's awesome. And it's available now. Whatpodcast.com. Do we have anything else we want to get to? Do we have anything else on the list before we...
I do, and it's crazy. Up? And I still want to try. I just want to try. So I was yesterday watching the McCartney show, and I stumbled across the old Edwin Sharp show. I don't remember the year, but
who
they went out.
Who is Edwin Sharp?
What did I say?
Is it Edwin McCain's brother? Edwin Sharp? Edward Sharp.
Edward Sharp.
Zeros, yes.
I don't know why I do that.
Edwin Sharp was on the Calliope stage.
Edward Sharp, yeah. Okay. Calliope stage. But
that's how you say the word.
They brought... No, it isn't. They
it
brought...
Is.
A guy named Hayden up on stage who they had met, and he had had a transplant. And I'm asking anybody out there, if you know Hayden or have any contact, I'd love to talk to him for this show. So I know that's a reach, but... I think it'd be fun.
You're going to have to say that again. That is a tough, tough poll that you just made.
Except either somebody knows or they don't. At the end of Home, they were singing Home, and they went out into the audience and had people tell stories, and they pulled a guy named Hayden, who the band had met in a hospital some years prior while he was having a liver transplant. And they pulled him up on stage, and it was just a really cool moment. And so I'm asking if anybody listening knows Hayden or how to get in touch with, or maybe Hayden's listening. I don't know. Okay. I just think it'd be one of those things that would be fun to do.
Barry wants to cast net and see what he pulls back. He wants
see what
to
happens.
See what comes onto the boat.
Call that number, Hayden. We'll talk to you.
423-667-RUSS.
That's it. Well, speaking of guests we'd like to have on, I would love to get David Bruce on.
Oh, absolutely. We'll do that.
He was such a nice guy. And, you know, we kind of mentioned it on the podcast last time, but, you know, it's him and Brian Hensley, I think, is the other kind of big name photographer that shoots Bonnaroo. And Brian Hensley's good at getting like an entire scene. But David, he really focuses on the people. So he will do portraits of people at Bonnaroo. And that's kind of the whole idea behind the I Am Bonnaroo series that he's doing.
Is he part of a media entity or is he just by himself?
He's by himself.
Okay. And they let him bring that gear. They let him bring that gear into Bonnaroo without having a media pass.
Oh, I think he gets a media pass. Oh, okay. But you know, he's pretty much just works on his own, so he's not part of a company or anything that does this. All right. And you know, he shoots a lot of film, which is interesting because most everything's digital. But you know, he's actually there loading the rolls, and you know, he's got to wind them and shoot. You know,
does he have a Volkswagen bus he can use as a black room, one of those dark room things that he's literally making the photos at Bonnaroo? That'd be kind of fun.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I don't know if you want to get a black light in here or not.
Yeah. Rubus has stickers. Taco has DNA.
Yeah. But and he was telling us some good stories about, you know, because he's shooting film, he can't just pop in another SD card as quickly as someone else does. So he's got a limited number of shots, and he was talking about the things he's had to do to, you know, go over here and switch the film roll out real quick to try to get the shot. Cause you know, he'll shoot artists, he'll shoot bands, you know.
By the way, one year, we need to have like our own paparazzi just follow us around. I would like my own personal photographer just following us around, documenting the whole weekend.
Okay.
Barry, let's make that happen.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, you know what I'm sitting here thinking, though, is basically it's like we're a month after what would have been, or a couple weeks after. So we're now back on schedule, if you will, for 2021.
Yeah, so now we got to come up with season four.
Now season four.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we can do it.
All right. Well, save all your loaded, save all your bullets and put it in a gun for season four. Save what you got, because every year I look at that calendar and say 15 shows. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And then we get to 23 and I'm like, I think we just wasted all of our material. I think we might.
And yet it gets better and better.
All right. Well, love you guys. Talk to you soon. Anything else before we go?
I can't think of anything now.
Yeah. I listened to the, if you listen to the Ruham podcast, they did a kind of a fictional wrap up show where they kind of pretended that they actually went and they talked about the shows that they saw.
Oh, that's funny.
So, and they, you know, they mentioned us a little bit. That's why I listened.
That's
know,
those guys are great. That's
I don't funny. Get a Google alert on our names like you guys do, apparently. I don't,
yes, you do.
And Parker was, he's one of the phone callers, so that was cool.
Parker called in,
and I'm not kidding. I really, really want to see.
Talk about dad not understanding technology. He's one of those phone callers.
Well, he called the number.
He left phone callers.
Yeah.
What would you call it?
I would say he's one of those that left a message. Yes, that's what I would say. He's one of those phone callers.
Yeah.
Did
the thing with the phone.
Yeah. He dialed the digits.
Yeah, exactly.
But they talked about like meeting up with us, and you know, it was kind of entertaining.
Did we enjoy it? I don't remember. Yeah. Did we like it? Okay, good. All right, good.
Yeah.
Did they bring hams? Did I get to try a ham?
I tried a hams. Apparently,
I swear to God.
Wait, no, I don't think I did.
These guys scream about the hams, but then I never actually see them with a ham. I feel like it's not real. I feel like it's a made up product. I've never heard of the ham. I want the ham and I want it proof, and I don't have it.
Have you ever had a hams?
I've never had one. I'd never heard of it until
I'm vegetarian. I don't have that.
It's a lot like a PBR. It's not bad. It's a lot like a PBR.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the plan, that we were going to meet up and share some hams.
I will say the thing that I missed the most about not doing Bonnaroo this year was, you know, of course, the shows and camp. But I really did miss that beer exchange. That thing was fun. That was really, really fun and miserably hot. I mean, you couldn't hear half of anything was anybody was saying. But at the same time, it was super, super fun. I loved that little bar that was tucked away in there. I think about that place all the time and how amongst the campsites, you could walk by every single day and not know there's a bar back there. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. I love everything about that.
I think the thing I missed the most besides the lineup, which was incredible, was the fact that we were going to meet a lot of these people that we've been talking to. I know that sounds made up, but I really was looking forward to, you know, face to face with a lot of these people. And I hope we can manage to carry that over for the next 11 months or whatever.
I agree. And I love that idea. I just don't know how accomplishable that would have been considering what our days look like. I'd hope to it would just be like a random run-in, really.
I was worried about that, and you don't like people, so that was going to be weird to begin with.
I'm not that antisocial,
but no, I really was looking forward to just sort of seeing how that played out, because I just think this community it's unusual. There's no question. I mean, we're 4 years into something we thought would last with 3 months. So.
I think the word is badass. I think the phrase is badass.
It's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's really
no
cool.
No question about it. And so I was looking forward to seeing a lot of folks. I mean, Daniel and Charla as Russ. I mean, he's still talking about last week, and those are cool people, and I really wanted to see them.
Yeah, that was what made the speakeasy roux so fun, is all the people that were there, because that's the same people that we would have hung out with at Bonnaroo pretty much. So
and that is sort of a shot in the gut, you know. You talk this thing up, and then you look around and you're like, okay, I'm ready to be with my people now, and see some people and meet some people, and then you just get these three dopes.
And
over and over.
We basically got fan fiction from the Ruham guys, you know, making up stories about what we did because we couldn't actually be there and do it.
Yeah, I really like that idea. That's really fun.
It was pretty entertaining, yeah.
I'm going to go listen.
All right. I wish I knew what I did. I mean, I'd love for them to fan fiction and some things that, you know, give me some, you know, memories that I'll...
Wow.
Let's be honest with you. That's the other thing that we need. The photographer idea is one thing, to have a paparazzi follow us and document the thing, but I need somebody to take some notes and some minutes, because I forget most everything that happens.
Well, yeah, we need a stenographer.
I need a court stenographer to follow us around at all times. All right. There you go. So until we get some information or some news about something, I guess that's it for a little while, huh?
Yeah, I don't have any other news. I mean, you're talking to the same people I am.
We can get some guests on. And
I want to get David. And I want to keep doing this, but I don't want it to feel tired. So we'll figure it out. Okay. And all the stuff, all the Patreons, the stuff's on the way, we promise.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the stuff.
You got that,
man.
Koozie? Hold up the koozie.
Shirts are on the way. So the shirts are super interesting, and they're doing a different process than just a regular basic, like, boring screen print. I wanted them to be like really high quality, so they've been a tad delayed, but it turns out Bonnaroo didn't happen, so we had some extra time.
I'm gonna ask it because somebody out there is gonna be thinking, can they buy this stuff? I mean, obviously we're sending stuff to Patreons, but we got extras for some of the others, right?
Yeah, we talked about setting up a storefront where you know.
I know I have a few of these in my living room.
I got a lot of these stickers.
Yeah, you made a couch out of them. Yeah, so many of them
sleeping on.
Yeah, we'll probably do something like that to where you could just buy some merch.
Cool.
If you want it.
Probably ought to send something to somebody that calls in on the phony thing. Does the ringy
the phone thing. The ringy ding.
Yeah, what are the phone callers?
Yeah. Maybe we'll send you something.
Someone named Edwin will call about a guy named Jamie on the phone caller thing.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Talk to you then. What podcast is Barry? It's Taco. I'm Brad. And love you. Bye.
Hey, 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 hey! How y'all feeling?
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay!
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.